All right, good evening, good morning everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for the latest episode of our podcast. Ito, may returning na tayo dito sa podcast natin. Of course, one of our favorite guests and my former professor, Professor Ranjit Rai, who is also a fellow at Okta Research. Thank you very much, Professor, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Richard, for having me here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to anyone, to everyone who's watching this particular podcast. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Podcast at that. Very popular podcast now. Yeah,
thank
good
you
job.
So much.
Good job.
Thanks to you guys. I mean, I think definitely having a high caliber guest who feel comfortable. Because you know, what we do in podcast is not actually just interviews. It's a conversation, right? It's like one social scientist to the other and all. And I think that's what people appreciate. Professor Rai, so a lot of surveys have come out in recent days and all, obviously the two authoritative ones. I'm not saying this because we're colleagues and friends, but it's really Pulse Asia and you guys who came out with some very important surveys that are relevant to our discussion today. One is on the Senate race, and I can see a lot of overlaps in a good way, in the sense that there is a kind of a corroboration there between the two in terms of sino yung mga leading candidates, at least the number 1, 2, 3, 4 at least. And then sino potentially within Magic 12. But more importantly, obviously, the Pulse Asia one was interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys also have your own version, because the charter change survey was very important, which we had a separate episode on. And hopefully I'll also have Ronnie Holmes of Pulse Asia Security to also discuss their survey. But I think it would be interesting to also discuss in charter change. No? But where I think your survey agency has done something very interesting, which I saw on Twitter a few days ago, I was tagged by some people who were referring to the survey whereby you're looking at political affiliation for the lack of a better term, loyalist versus DDS versus Dilaw, pink, whatever. You know, this kind of pedestrian way of putting it. Apparently, yeah. The survey was from you guys. So when forwarding data from you, I said, no, we have to have a conversation about this, Professor Rai. Yeah. So let's first get the ball rolling because, yes, the election proper will be next year. Yes, the technically speaking, siguro mga October pa magsa-starting registration and all. But we all know as early as right now, everyone is talking about next year's elections. It's just the nature of politics in our country. So what is the Okta Research finding so far as far as the Senate race is concerned? Of course, the most high-profile race. And then from there, let's talk about the bigger implications of that. You want to share, Professor, your survey?
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll just share a screen for everyone watching.
Yes, okay. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Oh, so okay. So just for everyone's information, when we do a regular survey quarterly, and this is our Tugon ng Masa survey, and this is our first survey for the year 2024, quarter one. So it's around political preferences of adult Filipinos, and you know, it was conducted from March 11 to 14, and the gold standard face-to-face interviews, 1,200. Respondents all around the country. That's Balanced Luzon, the National Capital Region, Visayas and Mindanao, and of course the margin of error is plus minus 3%. Okay. What are big findings? No. Okay. So here are the list of possible winners. No, if the election for the Senate was held during the period of the survey. Which was March 11 to 14. So a note to our viewers, these numbers will change. These rankings will change. Okay. And so when you look at it, look at the list, it's very similar to the Pulse Asia list, no? In many respects. So we have Erwin Tulfo at 58%. We have Tito Soto, of course, at 50%, 51%. Christopher Go or Bongo, Senator Go at 49%. And the new person we added to the list, the disruptor in this list, is of course Mr. Ben Tulfo, the brother of
another Tulfo. Yeah.
Another. No, but this is important because we didn't. This is the first time we're including him in the list. And he caused a major disruption, no? At 42%. So if you do a straight counting, he is in the top five, no? Okay. And of course, former President Rodrigo Duterte, 38%. So I guess this is the top five. And yeah, this looks similar to the surveys of some of the more prestigious survey companies that have come out. And to round off, we have Benjamin Abalos, Ben-Hur Abalos. These are the statistically, no? The personalities with a statistical chance of winning the election, being the top 12, pala, I should say, if the elections were held during the survey period. Okay,
For
well,
some
big
reason, I
surprises
don't.
here. Ben Tulfo. Yeah, Ben Tulfo was the big disruptor. Everybody went down because of him. Just to give you a sense,
Right.
Erwin Tulfo was 76%. He was hovering around 70, 68 to 74% for the last two quarters. His brother comes into the list. He's now down by 18 points, no? Which is
Oh, wow.
pretty regular, no? Because it happens with the Ejercito brothers anyway, also, no? So you put two names. It also happens with the Binays. So when you put two names in the list, the voters tend to
Split a
focus
bit.
on that split. So now he's what, 58%. He's 18 points down. Okay. I think the big story here is Aimee Marcos, Senator Aimee Marcos. She used to be 42%. She's down 13 points. In fact, she's the I think one of the biggest with the biggest changes that we
Sliders,
observed.
yeah.
Slight decline. Not slight, but actually a significant decline in her numbers. She's still within the top 12. Her range here is 6 to 12, but her number is was 42%. She was around that area, or that range, I should say, 38 to 44% for the last three quarters. And for the first quarter of this year, she went down 13 points. So these I think are the big stories for this particular survey. The survey findings for the quarter one. I think another one, if you go down the list, Richard, if you go down, no, this is seven. You'll be surprised that Pulong Duterte, another new entrant. I'm sorry. He's here.
Basta,
Sorry,
you
he's
mean? Basta. Yeah.
Baste. Can you see him from the? Yeah, I'm sorry, it's down. This is kind of surprising to us, no? Baste Duterte, 16.8%, number 13. This is the first time we're measuring his numbers, and he did
What do you
pretty
mean,
well.
surprise? Surprise that he's within the range or surprise that he's not higher?
No, surprised that he got high marks. Remember, there are three Dutertes in this list. He got
Yeah.
higher, nominally higher than his brother, no? So it also shows the power of that brand, no? Duterte brand, no? They're rating higher than some of the more established political names, some of the other established political names who are really trying to get into the Senate. We are not certain Baste or Pulong will run, but it just goes to show that they have a strong, very
Right.
strong following, no? As far as the Filipino voter is concerned.
Bro,
When you go
friend,
down the list,
just a second, sorry. I don't know,
sure.
for some reason, bakit frozen yung screen? I was wondering
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry.
if
Sige,
you
let
can
me.
redo it again. My apologies for that. So,
No, it's my, maybe it's just the internet or something.
yeah, measure frozen siya, if you can redo it again.
Yeah, is that good now?
Yeah,
Yeah, is that
I see
better?
the first page, but I wonder bakit hindi ko nakikita yung mga ibang pages.
Yeah, okay. Is that better? Yeah.
I wonder what's going on. Bakit yung first page lang pinapakita dito sa side?
Okay. Yeah. As first page lang, but can you see Baste?
No, as in the thing it shows is just the Tugon ng Masa first page.
Ah, okay. I don't
I
know.
wonder why.
Okay. So,
You're using a different baka may iba pa yung window na bukas.
wala naman. Yeah,
Okay,
this.
good. Yeah, usually it doesn't happen, so I was wondering what's going on. I mean, your explanation is still valid, just for the purpose of those who wanna see at the exact numbers and all. Gusto ko lang nila. So I was just wondering what was going on. This is
Okay.
interesting. So there are two people we have to talk about. No, so one is Ben Tulfo, and the other one is Baste, and we have a situation of three Dutertes within the
Yeah,
range.
in the
One of them
list, huh?
there, yeah, and then you also have a situation of two Tulfos within top five.
Okay.
I'm
Can
more.
this be seen now?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but it's just. Ayan, now it's moving now. Yeah, it's dynamic now. Okay. Okay, now. Yes, perfect. There we go.
This is what
so
I'm saying.
Irwin Tulfo at 58.4%, which is more or less the same as we see in Pulse Asia. So at least
just a little higher maybe with us, but you know, still within the margin of error.
Exactly, more or less.
So you can corroborate, as you say, you can compare, and then you can see that we can validate their list, they can validate ours. And the only difference is the placement of Duterte in their list. It's a little higher, but you know, it's this is how it came out. It's almost the same, statistically the same. The only big story is Irwin Tulfo lost 18 points, but his brother is in the top three, so that split the vote. Senator Marcos has a 13 point decline, but she's still within the top 12, from 42 to 29%. And then of course we have, I think, still significant Baste Duterte getting 16%, okay, and Pulong, okay. So when we go down the list, for the traditional opposition, the liberals, I think the highest ranking,
Pangilinan.
But it's really Pangilinan, Drilon. The regular names are still there. Lenny Robredo is 11.7%. She went down in this particular survey. This is I think the high, you know, in terms of the percentage, Kiko Pangilinan still has a very good chance. As former Senator Drilon has an excellent chance. So these are just snapshots of a particular period. These numbers will change obviously as we come closer to the to October, no, and when we start campaigning. But these are the dominant names in the list. Secretary Ralph Rector is not doing so bad at 13.9. Abigail Binay is at 14.1. These are good numbers, no, for people thinking of running for the Senate in the double digits. So this
like
is the
base to work on, no, a foundation.
But the big story is, I think, Bam Aquino in our survey, 7.3%.
Yeah,
I think that's a major difference between us and and Pulse. No? So then we go, as you go down this, the highest rated possible candidate for the left is Nery Colmenares at 5.4%.
Which is not a surprise. No, I think this is
not a surprise, and it's stable there at that number. It's still a good base to start with. There's some traction as far as this candidate's name is concerned, Congressman Nery Colmenares of the progressives on the left, no? So this
but wala kayong ano yung awareness level.
We actually have, but
in the
table within the it's a packed table, almost 60.
So we had space.
We gave the awareness numbers for our clients, obviously. The top 10 have a high awareness already.
Almost 100%.
Top 12, I'm sorry, almost 100%, So, except for Benher Abalos, so a little than that, no? Something like about 90%, 92%. Yeah, but the relatively high awareness for most of these top ranking senatoriables in the top 12.
This looks like a very packed survey, no? Because even if you go to the lower half, there are people who were senators there for multiple times. Forget about people who are known, no? So I don't know. I mean, of course, longitudinally, we can refer to other surveys here, but I mean, from both of us, I think our understanding is that this is probably the most competitive Senate race, no? If all of the people we think who are going to run, right? I mean, this is crazy. Yeah. It's so tight.
Yeah, it's very tight. And we feel that at least four slots are the only ones being relatively open. No? And you'll notice when you look at, as you go down the list, that the gaps between candidates are much, much, much smaller, no? From 10 to 15. No? So from rank 10 to 15 it's very competitive. Yeah. And I think the magic number for us is something above 30%. No? Anybody above 30% has a very good chance of getting in the top 12. So
Yeah,
this is going
that looks like the threshold,
extremely
no?
comparative rate. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like it, but 20% puts you within the competitive range, and 30% more or less puts you almost in a shoe-in range, right?
Yeah, assured of a spot. You see, the vulnerables are those ranked 8 and below. So yeah, it's gonna be very
Which
competitive.
includes Aimee Marcos, no? Which is
Yes, for the first time. For the first time.
quite a shock, no? It's a shocker considering those.
Actually, it's a shocker for us because she's had she's not a client, by the way. She we've been measuring her numbers really as a proxy also for the administration, no? And it's gone down, and her numbers have gone down. And to some extent, although we haven't reported the numbers for the administration yet, we're still going over them second time. There's a slight decline on
But
major
I mean,
issues.
it's opposition in a way, right? Isn't she
Yeah, I
like?
know. Maybe that's part of the problem also. Nobody knows where she
It's
actually
more
is.
opposition. I mean, let's be honest about it. Yeah.
She's maybe that erosion, no, that noise and the confusion on which side she is supposed to be
I
part
find
of.
it also interesting, Professor Rai, the fact that Isco and Willie Ong are almost the same. No, I mean, it's
Yeah,
very
yeah,
close.
yeah.
Considering how far they were back in the day, one was presidential, now competitive at some point, one was like a vice presidential that people were not sure about. And mukhang ito, baka mag-third time lucky na si Willie Ong, no? Just like
Yeah,
Rizzo and
that's
Duterte.
very
Yeah, what?
possible, Richard. Eh?
Yeah,
That's very
mukhang ito
possible.
may chance na siya mag-third time lucky, no?
Kasi it's for the last 3 quarters, he's been in the top 12.
Yeah, pasok siya
And
eh.
actually, very few occasions in the last few quarters that his numbers have really fluctuated. It's statistically stable, except that in this particular quarter, for the last 2 quarters, it's been statistically stable. But this third quarter, he went down slightly because you put in two big names, President Duterte and former President Duterte, and of course Ben Tulfo, disrupted the list. So they ate into a lot of the support for the others.
So that's one big takeaway that once you introduce BNB, right? Ben and Baste, diba? Ben and Baste, it kind of scrambled the whole rankings and all of that, which tells you how volatile, no, the situation is, including the top guy coming down to 58% from
18 points
75.
down, 18 points down.
From 70 plus percent. I mean, that's crazy, mid-70s percent.
Yeah.
So one implication is if you're Erwin Tulfo, the biggest threat to you topping the Senate race, because you know
Yeah,
it matters to be, is your own brother, right?
yeah. Well,
And
it looks like, yeah.
ang marites sa akin is yung pinakakuya nila ay napaisip bigla na, wait lang, baka kailangan ko rin tumakbo dyan kasi Mon Tulfo wasn't doing too bad in 2019 service, if I'm not mistaken. And he's the OG, right? So a
Yeah.
three Tulfo run would be quite bad for Erwin, right? It could really
Yeah.
split the vote in ways that
So
happen.
the explosive part of this is TNT, Tulfo and Tulfo,
Course.
but they're on the opposite sides, so politically, you have to understand.
Oh
Ben
yeah,
Tulfo
definitely.
more leaning towards the Duterte side, and Erwin is very much, no, with the administration,
Which
and
is like the
so
Marcoses, right? One is admin, one is the other side. But man, but okay, I don't, of course, I'm not sure if this was in the survey, but is there an when people express their preference, meron bang appreciation ng mga ganyan nuances, or it's more really the brand, the name, the name recall?
We don't have the data yet for that. Well, hopefully we're going to build a probe on that. Again, we link preference with culture. You know? Of course, it's a big debate in politics. No? But this is where we're coming from from Okta, and that these preferences are built on identities, no, on cleavages, on perceptions about our political culture. No? And you'll see that in the next set of survey data that we're going to show you. But yes, brand is important, and you're seeing it, no? The Tulfo brand is alive and kicking and still very competitive. You're also seeing it with the Duterte brand. All three possible candidates, I'm sure, we're not sure if any of them are actually going to run, are in the top 15. So this is brand name, is important. And in this particular midterm elections, if this might look like the cast, no, it's going to be highly competitive because you're pitting, you know, very established brands against each other. And then again, you know, machinery will come in, your network, political network will come in. Of course, resources will come in. And so, go to the next part of our survey, you'll notice that, you know, it's also important if you're aligned with the administration at this particular.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect segue. But before we segue to the next part, because that's where we can break down the alignments and affiliations and preferences, which is, I think, kudos to Okta for doing that, because I think that's the kind of service we want to also see more data on that, because we talk about DDS versus loyalist in a blogger sense of the word, but we really need the data. But for a moment, I understand that, you know, we want to talk about things based on as much possible as data we can get, but let's just say, despite the epistemological limitations, if I can put it, what is your sense with the rise of Tulfos? Because our understanding is that, well, I mean, Rafi Tulfo is also now the front runner to be the next president of the Philippines. Although, of course, in the Pulse Asia survey, at least from what we see, it's statistically tied. But his trajectory is just incredible, from teens to 30%+ right now. And who knows, right? If Lenny doesn't run or someone else, probably numbers will go more to Tulfo than Sara, considering the opposition between Sara and Lenny Robredo, right? So this is really you're absolutely right. We can talk about the Duterte's shortly, but the thing with the Tulfos is, ang basa ko dito is, the surprise to me is how Duterte's made it to national politics ahead of Tulfos. Because if we recall it 5-10 years ago, the Tulfos were already a national brand. It was just a matter of them making that leap, diba? They were already household names, and they already had that huge appeal to the masses as a kind of a savior of the people. Talagang top na top nila yan. So in a way, you could say this is a belated, right, harvest of that long-term building of their brand and the appeal that they enjoy among the... I mean, andyan that, diba? Macho, savior. I won't say vigilante justice, but, you know, let's just call it Tulfo justice. I interviewed Rafi Tulfo, so people can check the interview that I had with Rafi Tulfo on these issues. So yun ang basa ko. I want to understand where you come from as a political scientist. Again, I understand because you're now in the survey agencies, you want to be a little bit circumspect about any kind of speculative analysis. But just overall,
I agree with the common perceptions about the Tulfo brand. It's been evolving over time. The decision to run was only recent. And the decision to run was, by the way, linked also to the support of the Duterte family. You know, to a great extent, they were associated very strongly with the Duterte brand also. And they share many commonalities, no, as far as that brand of leadership and governance is concerned. They come from the populist mold, no? And in an era where, or in a context where we have weak institutions, okay, a state that's characterized as weak on many fronts, you find space for these kinds of candidates and the kinds of advocacies and the leadership style that they promote. These tend to rise, no? Especially during hard times. Richard, you see a lot of populists rising up, no? And this particular context that we're in as a country is extremely hard for most of our countrymen. Mahirap na hirapan ho yung mga ating kababayan. Nakikita rin namin sa surveys namin yan. Consistently over the last year, no, ang talagang problema, number one urgent national concern that people want to resolve, that what people want government to resolve, has always been the high prices of goods and services. Nahihirapan po sila. Their second is, of course, accessible food. And of course, higher wages. So, yan, consistent yan. Now, in times of hardship, you know, populists find space. No, and I guess this is the kind of population that's very.
I think the term we use is
Filipinos now. Yeah.
Right. The term we use is was that weak state, strong Tulfos, right?
Yeah. So, that's a problem. You know, that's a struggle. Yeah, we. You use the weak state, strong society perspective, but that's one way of looking at it. But the populist appeal is very strong with Filipinos. You have to also understand the two of us have a particular ethnic background. They're Bisaya. They have a strong support as far as that's concerned. When you look at
although
their
father is Ilocano, last time I checked.
Yes, I know, I know. But
from Batak pa nga yata eh. And then Japanese yung mom nila,
Yeah, and then they're also popular in they're a strong candidate in this particular sense.
Right.
You get votes everywhere. When you look at the Duterte, let's say, assuming there's a Sara Rafi, competition in 2020, which is so far away, no? Rafi will be very competitive because he gets votes everywhere. North, South, Visaya. We have a probe. We just have to ask our company that commissioned it if we can release the probe on Tulfo versus Sara. But in our probe, Tulfo has not lost to Sara Duterte 1-1. In fact, the gap is increasing.
The reality is.
We won't give the numbers here because
exactly. No, I appreciate,
the basic perspective is in Philippine elections, it's not just a two-way contest naman eh. Haven't seen a two-way contest in post-March although Philippines except for the contest between Cory Aquino and President Marcos Sr. But after that, it's always been tandems, no? Multiple tandems competing against each other. And that's where Rafi Tulfo's weakness is. Okay? He has no baluarte. Duterte has a consistent baluarte. Even now, despite all the attacks against them, they have a baluarte. Yes, you can say it's only located in one regional. Danao. But, you still have that. So in a three-way, four-way contest, Sara Duterte will always be competitive. You understand? So
that's a very good point. Of course, I understand that, thank you so much, by the way, for at least confirming, because, I've been saying for a while that not only in Pulse Asia, but we've seen different surveys, this upward trajectory of Rafi Tulfo. Obviously, that's where the second preference comes in, because it's very possible that a lot of those candidates there, particularly Leni, I doubt if she'll run in 2028, but of course, things could change if she does well, let's say, as a local official in 2025 onwards. So that's where things could get very interesting, right? But obviously, you're right. The other important factor, Duterte's and three Duterte's could potentially make it. I mean, that's next level, right? We have already Mag-ina, right? The Villars, the Itanos, but three brothers and three Duterte's would be something, right?
Yeah, this is a veto constituency already, no? Parang ano na, partido na sila, no? We'll see if it'll actually happen. Things could change between now and October. And so, para sa ating mga kababayan, nagbabago pa yung mga numero na to. At meron pang espasyo para sa mga progresibo. Meron pang espasyo talaga para sa ating mga sa opposition. And of course, wala pa namang kampanya. Although nagkakampanya na informally ang lahat. Mukhang pamilya ang malaking factor dito, na pangalan, pamilya, pera, ang magiging malaking factor dito sa ating 2025 elections. It's going to be expensive, very competitive, and parang may alas yung ating administration. Okay? Kasi marami silang resources, sila nakapuesto ngayon. So those associated with the administration, when you look down the list. Yeah, but the thing is, that's the big question. That's the other big question, Richard. Saan ba dyan yung administration? Hindi ba sino ba siya yung kandidato ng administration? Di ba? Wala, parang wala kandidato yung administration.
I could only think about Abalos as a solid candidate.
Yeah, Abalos. Yeah, that's possible. But he's at the end of the list. No? When you look at the top.
Yeah, medyo. Unless Erwin coincides with the admin. Unless Erwin explicitly. You could have a situation of Ben being in the campaign of Duterte camp and then Erwin on the other side. That would be an interesting opposition also in that sense, no, between two brothers.
Right now, there's no Estrada Ejercito sort of situation like we had in 2019. Both of them lost. I think tama, no? 2019 yun, no?
Ballot number 14 si JV ata noon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 14. So they're in the top five, which is kind of, you know, they eat into each other, splitting the vote, but they're very competitive. They're, and with those numbers, you're almost assured they're assured not winning. With those
it
numbers,
it doesn't matter whether you top the race, because that's the other. Yeah. If you top the Senate race, it puts you in a position for the bigger conversation. And if there's going to be so many tulfos, it's going to be a question of who's the. Who's,
you know, the, if you're a tulfo right now, you're already part of the conversation. Yeah, way ahead of 2028. It doesn't matter if you're going to top it or not. But it looks like the way things are, they're going to top. No. But you have to also look at Tito Soto. His numbers have actually improved. Surprising.
Interesting.
Bongo is stable. You know, hardly changed. Statistically stable. Yeah.
So, crystallizing base nila, no?
Yeah. Bongo has, you know, these are the things we have to also look at, no? How Bongo has evolved into his, an independent candidate, no? A candidate that's own base.
Not a proxy only for Digong.
Yes, not a proxy anymore. And he's much higher than his own mentor.
Yeah.
His boss. Yeah, you know, these are significant numbers. One could also argue that the president's numbers have declined over time. You know, its number. But you can't say that they don't have support. All three sons are within the top 15, higher than even the established, the real people who are real candidates who want to run. Don't really think that Baste and Pulong are going to run for the Senate. So when you take out all these, so it's a dynamic pa yung list na to. No? We don't even know if President Duterte is going to run for the Senate. But if you take him out, you know, a lot of people will go up. No?
Yun nga, I mean, probably if Digong doesn't run, then you're going to see a bump in the numbers of the Sun. Particularly, suspect ako if this is going to be Baste. Obviously, people are watching that because if Baste doesn't become the mayor next, I know, then people are even wondering if Sara will slide down, which would be unprecedented and crazy. But again, this is Philippine politics. Anything can happen. Yeah. But I don't want to push you too much because we're trying to keep this as data-driven as possible. Can we now transition to the second part of this in terms of alignments and affiliations? Because I think, Jan Solid, you're making a very important contribution. So kudos to Octav for that.
Okay, so this is, can you see this? Yeah? Is this, can this be seen?
Again, I'm seeing the first page. It says the survey 2014 results.
Okay. I'll just...
It's free siya. I don't know why. Baka ulitin na lang, Prof.
Okay, now you can see this.
Can you slide it down to just see if there's a movement?
Yeah. Mm. Is it moving down?
Hindi pa rin eh. I don't know why. But kanina, naayos natin na. Okay, sinasabot na tayo.
Yeah, but the thing is, let me try
one. Hindi natutuwa sa mga surveys niyo.
It's possible, you know.
I mean, I'm gonna share anyway. The links and all, just in case people.
Yeah. Okay. What about this? Can this be seen?
Can you move it again?
Yeah. Yeah. Can that be seen?
Yeah. I mean, we only see a frozen nung first page. I don't know why. So, but kanina naayos natin eh.
Oh, nga, I know. Just a minute. Let me just check. Let's see.
What's going on, kaya? Never ko nakita yung ganun.
Is that better? Okay. Let me see lang ano. Let me see. Okay.
No problem, Prof. Sige lang. Okay. Take your time. We want to
make sure. Okay, so while we're talking, participants can now see your application. Is that good?
Yun nga, frozen pa rin siya. I don't know why.
Yeah, is that going down? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hindi pa rin eh. But anyway, siguro what we can do is we can just discuss it and you just set the numbers. If ever, I can just share na lang screenshots and all later on.
Sure. While we're talking about it, no? So our basic question was, which of the following best describes your political preference? No? And looked at the survey results, no? And the survey results are this, no? I'm trying to see if we can still share, Richard, no?
Reappoint you na lang as a co-host.
And while you're doing that, maybe you can look at your side. I sent the file to you anyway. Try mo double click. So while we're talking about it,
First, major siguro, Prof, can you give us a background? Why are we doing these surveys? Why is this survey important? Ganun na lang, siguro.
Okay.
The basic questions. Why this survey? Because I didn't see that with other survey agencies. This is quite unique.
Yeah, actually, this was client-driven, to be brutally honest. Although it was not commissioned, no? a client was wondering if when we had a free question, we had a free space in our survey. So he wanted to ask, you know, if is there a way to find out partisanship, no? As far as the political context is concerned. And you know, the implication amongst associates, there are we divide along parties, ideology, but we're not, no? So we constructed this as an you know, a preliminary question that we want to test, a probe, no? But the client was a big part of constructing the question. And the object is, of course, to look at political preference in general and to look at how we are, you know, who everyday Filipinos support at this particular time. And so we were happy to get to generate some information. It was also an attempt to test the validity of the question. We could change the question over time. And so this was the object of our probe. So I hope that, yeah, is that better? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You can just go down. Yeah, let's go down. Yes. One more. Yep, that's it. No, you missed it now, Richard. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's it. No, can you go up? Yeah, that's it. Now, can you go up? A little more. One page one, Richard. Second page. I'm sorry, second page. Yep. Okay, that's it. Stop there. Make it bigger. Yeah, that should be good. Interesting findings. Yeah. So the basic question is, are you pro Marcos? No? So the statement which best describes you is the way we ask the question. And I support President Marcos and his administration, 31%. I support the Duterte family and their political alliance. We classify them as pro-Duterte, that's 20%. I support the opposition. We didn't define the opposition to our interviewees as just the Liberal Party. We just said that, you know, this may include the left and the Liberal Party or the traditional opposition, but that generated a support of 4%. So, but then this is quite surprising, no? 29%. We call them independents in the study. I do not support the Marcos administration, the Duterte family, and the opposition. 29%. And those ambivalent, 15, meaning they refused.
So, ang laki ng anti-system, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, that's
independent.
But this is a space where the opposition can build on. Yeah, this is a space also that will be up for grabs. If you're part of the Duterte alliance, building the new opposition in their view. And of course, the Marcos administration was trying to solidify their base. No, so 29%. So where do we locate the Marcoses, no? The pro-Marcos support? No, it's largely in the National Capital Region, no? And Visayas. Okay. They're not very strong at this particular time. In Mindanao, 17% lang sa kanila. And their base of support is DNE. Okay? So when you go to the Duterte family, the support, 20% of adult Filipinos support the Duterte family. Their base is really Mindanao, 53. You can see naman, huh? So talagang may, ano sila, may hold sila sa lugar na yan.
Right. And probably the low numbers in Mindanao is because of the feud, right? I mean,
yes, of course.
Coming out, I mean, we can see that in for instance, the other side survey on the presidential balls, ang baba lahat dun sa Mindanao, and then dun sa preference also for the president, laki ng baksak ni Marcos sa Mindanao.
You're correct, Richard. No, kasi yung ibang probes natin on trust and approval, bumagsak talaga yung support sa Mindanao kay President Marcos. So it's consistent, no? And when you look at the base of support, it's really class E. Okay? So for the 29%, which is significant.
Ay, sila sa class E, no? Both of them are 30%.
Yeah.
So yung mass appeal nila is almost identical, yeah.
Yeah, pero mas malaki si Impro Marcos group sa class D, right, which is the big chunk
the
of
biggest
our,
one, which is 55 to 60%
population. Yeah. So even of the population in general, adult Filipino population. So yeah. So those who do not support is still a huge chunk, no? And those who refuse to you know, who are ambivalent, basically. So the 29%, we classify them as independents. Yeah. And you'll notice the base of, so can you go down to the last three slides? Yeah, it's just at the bottom. Yeah. So yeah, look, we can, if you can, yes, put, yeah. Yeah. Okay ka pala sa Zoom, Richard, eh. Pwede ka pala. Partner pala tayo. Pwede tayo partner sa presentation.
Sige, sir. Ako yung research assistant. Gawin niyo na lang ako sa
But look at these numbers. Okay ba ito? Is this useful? You look at the mail.
Yes,
the demographics supporting. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So at the this is how it spread. At, you know, the regional, we know that already. But urban-rural, it's almost the same. Yeah, for the Marcos vote. Yeah. The pro-Marcos support, not vote, but support. I'm sorry. Male, female, almost the same. But look at the age group. They're pretty balanced, very strongly, well supported in the critical 18 to 35 range. So that's where there's lots of support. And you'll be surprised, no? 55 to 64, ito yung Marcos ano, babies, no? Ito yung, hindi pa naman ako dito sa age group na to, pero alam mo yun, yeah. The Marcos.
Nang
laglagan. So, ito. But I think interesting yung sa education, yung actually educational background ng Marcos supporter, no? So, you'll see that a big chunk of them are from high school vocational. Yeah. And interesting, but not surprising, Iglesia ni Cristo is a big, you know, when you look at the religious breakdown, 55% of that. And that, and then of course you look at the ethnic support, no? It's basically Ilocano, Tagalog, no?
Yes.
Okay. But there's a very strong Cebuano support pa rin, 22%.
Pero wait lang, Aglipayan, wasn't it found by an Ilocano? I was just reading lang about Isabelo de los Reyes and then Aglipayan.
But yeah, but the big chunks there are Roman Catholic, Islam, Iglesia ni Cristo. So meaning in the terms of the actual percentage that they have as far as the population is concerned. So
very interesting.
Good. But you look at the next slide, which is the Duterte family. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it you'll notice the support is very different as far as the age groups are concerned. Yeah, that the big supporters are Islam, no? Can you see? 66%. So when you look at the religious support,
no? Here the Mindanao factor there, because most
the Mindanao factor.
Mindanao. Exactly.
Yeah. So Mindanao is also their base of support. And Bisaya, no, 41%. Can you see?
What's 1% the number? Ilocano. 1%. Which I wonder, sino tong 1% na may Ilocano to?
Okay.
I'm gonna research them. Pagod kayo sa akin. Uwi ako ng bago soon.
May 1%.
1%. I mean, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, but this is a snapshot.
This is good. This is a very, very helpful professor,
you know, it reinforces the demographics we know about these two political families and why they were also very unbeatable together. Okay. Meaning, you know, you can understand their base of support, right? If they're united, they can really there will be a lot of continuity as far as government and politics is concerned, no?
Interesting.
But then bifurcated, not just around personalities and personal interests, but also along policy lines. We also know that, diba?
Right.
And it's become the great divide between the families. Now, one is very supportive of China, the other one is not as supportive. No. Sorry. Is that yours or mine?
No. I think that probably is yours, Prof.
Wala. Okay,
no. This is very important because, honestly, for me, the big thing before we talk about the third part, independence, is, and the reason why I find it very interesting, aside from the fact na meron mga sub-demographics, this reminds of us of the... kasi kung titignan mo dito, almost kalahate ng mga voters ay either undecided, independent, or medyo traditional opposition, right? Because sinama mo yung dalawa, 31 plus 20, that's just 51%. So roughly half of the voters are up for grabs, right? In a sense, for an
alternative
to vote to Duterte and Marcos. This is huge. This is actually very important if you look at it that way. Assuming, of course, someone consolidates them into a third force.
If you're planning a campaign for the midterms, this is important to take note of. But this is not surprising. They're not very strong. The administration is not very strong in Mindanao. So, but the thing is, they can consolidate. When you look at the independents, there a lot of them are still in balance, Luzon, Visayas. So you can that's up for grabs, talaga. Lana Visayas. So this is something that the administration and even the opposition, whoever eventually becomes, no, or takes control of it, however it evolves, no, we'll have to work on. There's a lot for grabs. Now, if you put that plus those who did not respond, that's around 45%, Richard. So up for grabs.
No, I find this very, very helpful. Thank you so much. I'll just call you Ranjit na lang kasi ano, we want to have you more regularly, so first name basis na lang. Professor Rai. This is very, very helpful. Obviously, I found nothing shocking in terms of numbers except the 1%. Bakit may 1% pang mga Ilocano? Mga hudas kayo. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, kasi I was just in Baguio, di ba? Last week before I flew into US. And okay. Ang dami mga bumpers.
Where you now, bro? Where are you now, Richard?
I'm in Berkeley now. Berkeley.
Okay, good.
Kaya ngayon, time zone natin.
It's night time or late?
It's 9 p.m. right now. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's nice.
So, thank you so much for agreeing to morning kasi ang hirap. Because later this week, we're gonna have Senator Trillanes back again also on our show. Pero kanya, so that's gonna be like 5 a.m. my time. So medyo you're gonna see more sabog version of me. 5 a.m. is not my time talaga eh. But thank you so much for this. So Professor, can we look at the big picture now and also dito sa independence? What is your read dito sa independence? Because I also find this very interesting.
Well, there are Filipinos who are still they may have actually support. No? I mean the question is not crafted. You know, there it still needs a lot of improvement as far as
medyo, generic question.
What about the left, diba? What about it? So improve this question over time. This is this was not developed by Octave, so the client based. No? The client suggested this question, and we just ran it for them. No,
operationalize lang kayo.
Oh, no, operation, but with slight improvements in to improve the validity of the question. But then again, we can break this down ideologically. We try to find out. No? A lot of people are out there who don't see the administration or the as groups that they want to support. Okay. And that's also good, right? Diba? That the it's not bifurcated by just two families, although a big chunk of it is nearly 50%. No? I know, more than 50% already basically either pro Marcos or pro Duterte. But a big chunk is still open and is still looking for that group they want to support or they have support. No? But we also included the opposition kasi, that's 4% lang. No? And so they don't see. Right. The Liberal Party
traditional opposition
as the group they want to support also. That's also good that we our own but one could also argue there's a divide, right? There's a divide between those who have already affiliations, no, and those who do not. What's relevant for me here is that it reaffirms all these old images of Philippine government and politics, right? That's familial, it's very personal. That our divides are along ethnic cleavages, no, and that the weakness of the party system, the lack of it, no, the non-existence of it, has not disciplined our politics. Has made our politics ill-disciplined and around all this parochialism and personalism. Yeah, but if we had stronger parties, you know, we could see ourselves be divided along ideas, ideology, platforms, and programs, no. Instead of just families. But I think a lot of the data reaffirms all our own consistent images, no, of how changeless Philippine politics seems to be. But you know, there's hope in the 29 and in the 40% who don't have a position.
That's a huge number. Honestly, I think I'm more optimistic than you, cautiously more optimistic in a sense that the two surveys that we discussed today are two sides of the picture, right? One side is the continuity part, particularly continuity in terms of appeal of the Tulfos and Dutertes and the whole macho populist kind of appeal. Although I think both of us argued that, forget about differences between Dutertes and Tulfos. The Tulfo brothers themselves are extremely different from each other, right? I've interviewed Rafin and Rafi, two very different individuals. I think Rafi is much more independent so far. Let's see with Erwin if he's going to hew more towards the administration. And then Ben Tulfo is totally different conversation, right? But at the same time, I think the second survey was very interesting because almost half of the voters were either independents or kind of anti-system or something, which tells you, you know,
that there's hope for change.
Exactly. Assuming certain things are done.
So at one level, one could construe continuity and change from the picture being shown by the survey. Although the data is not enough to make solid arguments. But, you know, there's always that as taking ourselves out of the survey and looking at the general trajectory of Philippine politics. There is a trajectory for reform. There's a strong sense of continuity as far as government and politics is concerned. But there is always that, you know, that element of change that's happening and being driven by young people, by people who are progressive, who align themselves along ideas, platform, and you know, a belief that, you know, democracy and development can actually happen if we all work together. So, you know, there's always that that movement there. And, you know, hopefully that movement will have more voice and become more, you know, vibrant, no? And we hope to see that, you know, more survey numbers in the future pointing out to this progressive movement taking hold of our politics.
On that note, thank you very much, Professor Rai. As you can see, lobat na ako dito, medyo mag-off. So perfect.
Matulog ka na muna. Sleep is in preparation of for the Senator Trillanes interview.
Yeah, I know. There's so much going on. I still have to write a piece on the quad patrols in West Philippine Sea and all. So thank you so much, Professor Wright. This was very helpful data. And definitely I'm going to refer this to this in future lectures, discussions, and writings. We hope to have you again in the near future as more data, as more interesting surveys, as more tightened, you know, designed surveys come in because para mas kampante, because I can see you're hedging a little bit in a social scientist way, you know, para jump into conclusions. But as I said, at least we have something to hold on to before we can make a conjectural or more than hopefully conjectural political analysis. Thank you very much, Professor Ranjit Wright from Octa Research and of course University of the Philippines Diliman Political Science Department for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. And thank you to all those who watched today's podcast. Thank you.
God bless and have a good day, sir. Thank you.
Okay.